Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plain Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and there's a ton of sunshine, so she must be here, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
Did you just call me a girl?
No. She, meaning, you know, your lovely wife.
Okay, good. Nice save.
You know, like my favorite, so. In fact, let's just, you know. So, Aramis, before we started the show, what we like to do, the first thing we do every week, is we want to remind you guys that we are sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge when they're finally able to open it, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Hey, they've got a really great new website, guys. I actually already ordered some cards from it. I actually never opened a Luca, so I had to order from Kerwin's. So I did. I went to kgsonline.com and I put in our 5% promo code to get it a little bit off. So you can go there. If you go to kgsonline.com, put in the 5% code PlainsTalkers2020 at checkout, you'll get 5% off your order. So we want to thank you guys for that. We also have a ton of really great news. Like last week we got patrons, dude. Like, we got new patrons.
Nice.
So we've got more names to add. So I'm very excited about this. I'm doing that, and I'm looking for the list because apparently I forgot to update that tonight, and we let this out of the main show. But I do want to, you know what, I do know that we've got George, Ian, Josh, Walter, and Zach. Those guys are amazing. But two new guys, Anthony and Steven. Steven's in our chat right now. Guys, I want to thank you very much. They came alongside us at the Planeswalker level, which is our $5 a month tier. They're going to be entered in for next month's drawings for the Play My Deck event and Play the Host. And we're very, very excited for that. We're very thankful for them. So with that, let's get things going. Now, I made a promise to you tonight, Aramis, before we started the show. What did I say?
No double IPAs.
I will not be drinking a double IPA. And I really, you know, I recognize that you have problems with that. So thanks to my wife, she found a solution to that problem.
O'Doul's?
No, tonight I'm drinking Trey Kind, a triple IPA.
You know what? I was going to say that as a joke, not realizing it was a thing. So, God,
it's amazing. Damn it. I had one this week and I was like, oh, wow, that's some hoppiness. So I salute.
I'm just going to walk away slowly.
You know what? After the last half hour,
you earned it.
Oh God, I'm drooling. I'm already drooling. Just to let you know, 10% alcohol by volume. So,
okay.
I'm very excited. This stuff is really good. So we had some funness tonight. But Aramis, how you been, man? We were gonna record last night, but we just couldn't get to it. You know. We had a little bit of illness, and it was Memorial Day, and we were all kind of tired, so we decided to push it off till tonight, and could not be happier we did.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you that. But how was your Memorial Day? We'll get to it.
I'll make it short, because I really want to get to this. Memorial Day was good. We did some gardening, did some yard work, killed some bees.
Killed some bees?
Yeah, we have carpenter bees. And...
Oh.
I mean, if they didn't burrow into the wood, I wouldn't care, because they're not aggressive.
Right.
They're big and dumb, and they fly around, and like all the bug spray and everything else I was doing to try to kill them, not a single one was aggressive towards me. They're harmless, other than the fact that they eat wood, and that's what part of our house is made of, and yeah, we don't want holes in our walls. So.
Like a $10 whore. Okay, moving on. Sorry, I'll stop now.
Yeah, okay. You sure that's your first one?
That's my first one.
Oh, yeah. Good God.
Listen, I don't need an IPA to just be a oh, look at this. Zach Triplett coming in, man.
Bee murderer. It's either them or the house, so they gotta go.
So yeah, we had a pretty good weekend. We had the kids, which it was great. We went to Congress Park, which is a park up here in Saratoga. You know what? I was pretty amazed. Everybody was keeping good social distancing, but we were able to be out and enjoy the weather, and we sat by the lake and we You know, we fed the ducks sitting right next to the do not feed the duck sign. And, you know, we just enjoyed ourselves. We had a really nice day as a family. We went to Ben and Jerry's. Apparently, my lactose intolerance has a clock. And Saratoga to Broad Alban is just about the clock I've got. Like, I was a low-flying aircraft the last 5 miles, man. I was like, we're going to have a mess in here if we don't hurry.
That's just right on the edge of too much
information. Right, it is on the edge. See, I'm doing good. I don't need beer. I'm on the edge.
You could say it was crowning.
No, there wouldn't have been any crowning. It just would have been there. It was like that.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so let's get right to it, because we have a ton to go over tonight, folks. What we're going to talk about is really breaking news. That's really what we've got tonight, is nothing but the breaking news. So
let's do it.
We're going to do combat a little bit. We are going to talk a little bit about stuff like that. We've got a player who was banned from everything, basically for some First Amendment stuff. Secret lairs are coming out. If we have time, we're not going to have time. We're not going to do Magic 101 tonight. So we're basically news you can use. So let's get into it. Let's go to main. And I lost that bumper, Aramis, so don't even mention it.
Main phase.
This is breaking news. Okay, how was that? That was better than any bumper we could have had.
That was good. Can I have it?
Yes. So we have some breaking news tonight, folks. And by breaking, we mean literally, when did they tweet? 20 minutes ago?
They tweeted at 7:59 Eastern time.
So about an hour ago. It's come out. Eric and Steve's already kind of trying to kill it in the chat, but I'm not putting it on the screen, Aramis, because it's your moment, man.
It's mine.
I'm letting you break this news. This is it. Take her away. Bake her away, toys.
Bake her away, toys. Okay, anyway.
Do what the kid says.
Yes. So when we were getting ready to come on the air, we're checking Reddit, we're checking Twitter, we're checking things just to make sure there's nothing that we missed. And this flashed across my screen on Monday, 6/1. There will be an update to the banned and restricted list impacting the standard and historic formats that will also address the companion mechanic. It's coming. Oh, Lord, he's coming.
So, an update to the BNR on Monday.
Somebody getting banned, and they might be doing a errata to, you know, a mechanic that has literally just come out.
That's just it. Let's spend a few minutes on that, because I think it's really, you know, it's definitely worth kind of going over here, because the way they put it together. Okay, excuse me. Ooh, tasty. On Monday 6/1, there will be an update to the BNR list impacting standard and historic formats. And they went on to say that will also address the companion mechanic. The operative word for me in that sentence is also.
Yeah.
Like, I can't help thinking, like, it's going to be, I mean, the biggest target right now everybody's talking about is AOT, Agent of Treachery, which is mm-hmm. ridiculous, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You make it so that, all right, well, with Luka, I guess you'll always have Agent of Treachery. There are a billion ways to cheat Agent of Treachery out in before 7.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, Bant Ramp was being able to do it. Wanata is able to do it. You know, obviously Luke is able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a billion ways to bring it out. So
I gotta wonder if
that's the ban they're thinking.
It's not even so much the ban, too. It's the fact that there's so many ways to blink it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Yorian brings him right back.
Yeah, Yorian brings him back. Thassa brings him back every turn.
Yes, Zach, I 100% agree with you. They're going to change the companion mechanic. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
But because the tweet says, and also,
there's going to be something
that will also address, makes me think they are going to.
They're
going to
ban something.
They're going to ban, and I think it's going to be AOT. I think historic, they're going to ban Field of the Dead. Because since they are going, and that's another thing, we should talk about this. The way they're doing events is changing. That came out last week as well. Events are moving to Arena almost 100%, and we will talk about that when we get down to the player ban from everything. You know, and now it's been officialized that, you know, events are changing. They're moving all the events to Arena for at least the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. So historic is going to be, and historic is going to be their main non-standard constructed format because it's the only one you can do.
Yeah.
So with historic coming into light, I have no doubt Field of the Dead's going back on the list. And forever shall it be gone, because it's too big. Nobody's really competitively playing Historic right now, so it can't really be broken. The minute you make it a main event thing, it'll be broken in moments. So, and Field of the Dead was already proven to be just...
I'm thinking that they might be banning some companions. They might go after Yorion.
I don't think they'd go after Yorion, because here's the thing. You take Yorion out of that deck, I'm still playing Luka Agent.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm playing it all day. The Luka Agent combo.
I guess it's just the way that it's worded makes it sound like they're banning it, banning something that's companion related and changing companion rules, or like you said, they're banning separate things and then also changing companion.
I think they're going to end up changing companion. The only way that they could change companion that I think would be fair is that if you have a companion, you have 6 opening cards.
That's been the most popular thing that I've heard.
You know, and that to me, okay. Okay. I don't think it's right. I think it's kind of wishy-washy, and I like having an 8th card, but I understand it. Mm-hmm. But,
and we just touched on this last week.
Yeah. Agent is the older card. You're right, George. They do try to ban around fresh printed cards. George seems to think Agent ban is going to happen.
Well, Teferi's older than Agent.
Yeah, Agent is the biggest target. Everybody's bitching about Agent. Why? Because nobody likes to lose their cards. Okay, so unless you play Agent, you hate Agent. I've had my card stolen by Agent many times. And every time it comes out, I'm like, damn it. You know?
There are ways
to deal with it.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons also too that Agent of Treachery is so reviled is one of the reasons I talked about that a way that would make it slightly less annoying. It hits lands. This is land destruction. We don't ever get access to quality land destruction.
No. It's not land destruction. It's land, like, take it away from you and you don't get to play it, but I do.
Yeah, but I mean, it's in the basic sense of the word, the opponent's lands are going away.
Yes.
You're destroying their mana.
I think if I was to put my thought on any card that's going to be banned right now, the biggest target has to be Agent. Behind that, I don't think they're going to do Luka. I don't think they want to hit another Planeswalker this soon, and he's not Oko level. Like, no. it took an act of the Lord Almighty himself to get Oko banned. Like, at this point, you know, Luka is not bannable yet. So, I mean, to me, and yeah, Steve's right. He's land destruction and ramp.
Yeah.
Granted, by turn 7, you don't really want ramp. You don't care, but... take your land, yeah.
You know, but you're getting him out turn 5 in some cases, yeah. Or earlier. And then he just keeps coming back.
Turn 4. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the Arboreal Grazer falling into a growth spiral, falling into another one to, you know, it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
You, it's a nut draw, don't get me wrong, but... Zach.
Eminent domain
and MTG.
Yeah. You didn't pay your rent.
Agent isn't selling as many packs as your Ryan. I hate to sound pessimistic, but that's the play. Ultimately, I love the game, and I want them to make money, so I get it. George, I don't think you're wrong. I think, though, that they are going to... I don't think they're going to ban them. I don't think they'll ban any companions yet. They could ban Winata. Winata's kind of...
They might hit Winata in... I think in Historic, I think she's really good in Historic.
Yeah, well, she's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
Like, a churn, you know, by churn 4 in Standard, you should not be sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, at a turn 4, if you have Legion War Boss out and Winata, turn 1, you've got Arboreal or something else, you've got some sick, sick things happening on turn 4, and they're swinging in for 15.
Bottom line, you know? it's another set that's going to have banned cards in Standard. I mean, it's happening again.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
I'm playing Ulamog in Historic 2 and turn 3 with Luka. I'm like, oh, that works.
Well, cheating on Eldrazi is always a good thing to do.
So I mean, for me, I think that with the mechanic, as far as what they're going to do to the mechanic and the errata they're going to do, the errata is going to be, if you have a mechanic, you're drawing 6.
Right.
You know, and if you mulligan, then you're taking five. It's maybe they give you a free mulligan with a companion.
I think that's adding too many layers. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what they decide to do. I know that the most popular theory that I've seen is people saying you start with one fewer card in your hand. I mean, do they ban the companions as a mechanic?
I don't think they can ban the companions. I don't think they can.
Not saying you can't play them, just saying you can't play them as companions.
Yeah, and I don't see them going to do that. Yeah. I don't think have they ever banned an entire mechanic?
Anti. That's about the only thing I can think
of. They didn't even ban mechanics in Vintage. You know, they didn't ban Companion in Vintage. They were going to ban it anywhere when they did they banned those specific cards.
Yeah.
And I think that's the line that they're going to walk up to is, we'll ban something in Vintage. Look, this is serious. We're aware of it. Because they're moving the paper events to Arena, we're going to see more of this. Like, they have to make Arena fair now. They really do. Because not only that, but they've got severe egg on their face today. So, you know, everybody's kind of talking about what we're going to talk about next. But yeah, like the B&R, I mean, oh, here we go. I don't think they'll have us dump one for a mulligan. That seems a little too... That's still giving you some insane card advantage. Draw seven and put one down as a mulligan.
Yeah, no, because you still see the seventh card. You still get to basically craft your best six.
Yeah,
I think they might just have you skip one card. But I mean, it's gonna be very hard. It's gonna be hard to enforce something like that, though. I would think.
It is.
They're in a tough spot.
It's not, because if you are rat of the rule, all right, say you are rat of the rule, and you say, okay, this is what the rule is now, that you know, if you have a companion, it's six. Okay. That's an easy errata, period. You know, if you're playing in paper, same idea. You know, you know that they're going to start with six. It's the simplest way to fix the paper mechanic that doesn't involve them reprinting cards or changing, you know, words upon words upon words. You know, and here's the thing. There has been talk. Some people are wondering about companions in 2021 and Zendikar, that there's been talk out there that some people are wondering if Rosewater and all this are all talking about the companions still and trying to paint it in a better light, because, you know, like Planeswalker did when they first came out, they kind of kept going thinking companions were going to be a thing.
Yeah, but I mean, Planeswalkers didn't elicit this kind of response.
Oh, no, but they were not anticipating this kind of response. You know, they would not have anticipated this kind of response. So I could see them. By the way, nice shirt. But, because we're wearing the same shirt. Why do you not? That was a good moment, man. Why you gotta do it? It's the sponsor too, man. You gotta make something out of this here. What's going on with you? No. But I definitely think what? I definitely think that they could erratic the companions a lot easier than they can, you know, that one particular ruling.
True. True. So. I feel conflicted. I said this last week. I feel really conflicted because I see they were trying to do something new and exciting for the game, and it just worked a little too well.
It really did.
Now they have to kind of, you know, scramble and try to find a quick fix that is honestly not going to be tested.
No.
So we have no idea if whatever rule change they do, if it's even going to make a difference.
And the only way they can test it is these upcoming events in Arena. The Arena Open will be its big test, really. Oh, wait, that's happening this weekend. So, no, they're not doing it. Ah, that's why they waited till the 1st. They didn't want to make a change before the Arena Open this weekend. So,
yeah, that makes sense. And they always do that. If they're going to do a change, they want to make sure it doesn't impact, like, the next upcoming event. So this would so Monday would have been the very first opportunity they would have had.
I think he's talking about your reaction to my shirt comment.
Or the lack thereof.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? No, this is grade A funny stuff, dude. No, I think they're gonna hit Agent. I don't see how they hit anything, but other card causing trouble in Standard other than Agent? Maybe Winata. Like Nissa's not a thing anymore.
Although I think if you take out Agent, you take out
Nissa becomes a thing again.
Nissa becomes a thing again, but also Teferi is also the people have always been complaining about Teferi. Rotation's happening soon, but I mean, I don't It's up in the air.
They ain't gonna nail Thorferi.
Agent is public enemy number one, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if it was Agent of Treachery. I know that'll kill the deck you're trying to build.
I already built it, and yeah, it's gonna piss me off, but
it's gonna nuke it.
And that deck will be dead. Maybe. The Luka deck, the mechanic is sound.
The only other win condition in that deck is the Shark Typhoon.
Right. Well, no, there's a lot of token generation. There's the omens too, the white omens.
Yeah, but that makes walls.
No, the white omens create 2/1/1.
Oh, the white omen. I was talking about Birth of Miletus.
Plus the wall. Yeah. No, there's plenty of token generation in that deck.
Unless they just find another thing to cheat out with Luka.
I could see them moving towards Dream Trawler. I actually keep a Dream Trawler. Cheating out Dream Trawler also helps me end a game.
Yeah.
They can, you know, cheating Trawler. Out the Archon, cheating out almost anything in blue white. Like there are plenty of things that you could do. Now it doesn't have the ETB like FU that Agent of Treachery does,
mm-hmm.
but Garuda. Put Garuda in the deck. Have you cheat out Garuda?
That wouldn't, well, yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about being a companion, but I don't know. You'd have to have other reasons to have other creatures in your deck, and that deck doesn't seem to want other creatures.
No. And doesn't it have to have odd number? No, it has to have odd number.
Well, Garuda's even number to use as your companion.
Right, and Yorion is odd number just, command.
Yorion is just plus 20 cards minimum.
Oh, yeah, deck plus size. 20. You're right. So it could do it.
I don't think so, because the thing is with Luka's ability, if you happen to hit a dud, and it's not what you're searching for.
Which does happen. Like, when I sideboard, because that's my sideboard as Agent, is Dream Trawlers and one Archon. And occasionally, if I'm playing a real aggro deck where I'm going to need the life gain, it sucks to be like, I got my life gain, but damn it, I want to steal your things. You know? But I'm seeing, actually, I put in a lot of, like, for best of one, I might try to play that event this weekend. And for best of one, I have 12 sweeps. I've got 4 Solar Flares. I've got 4 Shatter the Skies. And I've got 4 Cleansing Novas. And I'm like, why? Because until I can get things going, I just don't want you playing at all. And it's been working BO1, believe it or not, because it's shutting down the mono black and the mono white deck. Mono red, it's always a crapshoot. Right. Mono red is who got to go first.
Which sucks.
Yeah, it does. And that's just it. I also have a mono red deck prepared in case I want to try that. I think the way that they're doing this event, let's talk about that real quick. This Arena Open, which is this weekend, and you can win 2,000 real American dollars. And how is that not gambling? I don't know. But it is, but I like to gamble. No, but it's definitely an interesting dynamic. I like that they're letting us use coins, first of all. But
it's a lot of coins, though, isn't it?
Huh?
Isn't it a lot of coins?
It's 20,000. It's basically a historic set. Yeah, I know. But it's better than making us buy gems for everything. So, I mean, I'm kind of down with that. They do have rebuys the first day, which I'm kind of like, I do wish they had a limit. Because I think there are people that are going to put their freaking houses up. Like, they're going to be like, it's $2,000. If I spend $1,000 to get to day two, I just got to win 7 games. Yeah.
Yeah, but the people making day two are going to be like, you know,
rebuy. Yeah. Well, I don't think so. I think with the rebuys, I think it's going to be a combo of, like, really good players and players that are, like, who put up their houses.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like you're still going to run into those people, and it's going to be a lot more likely on day two than it is on day one.
George brought up an interesting card, too. Fires.
I don't think they banned that. I don't think they banned that.
I don't think so yet either. There's
too much. It's too much setup.
Yeah. But it's an interesting. Are you going to play, do you think, this weekend?
Probably not. No? I haven't really had a chance to play Standard at all. So going into it blind is not a good idea.
Right. I get that. Luka is pretty much the best deck. Mono Red's a really good deck to come under Luka, but you're going to lose to almost everything else.
Well, that's the problem too. I also
well, not never as a play stupid deck. I hate that bitch.
I never play best of one either.
Yeah, and the first day is BO1.
Yeah, so I'd be way out of my element.
Well, that's just dead. It's like the first day is pretty much no control whatsoever. Like nobody's playing control that day. They're like, nope. You're going to see a lot of aggro. You're going to see a lot of Yorion Luka. You know, day two, if they, I don't know, do they let you switch your deck, right?
I believe so, because you need sideboard for day two.
Yeah. So that will be interesting, to say the least. But it brings us to, where, you know, a lot of stuff there. So the BNR, I think we kind of talked about a little bit what's happening. Let's kind of move on to, listen, we normally do State of Standard. Not much has changed, folks. It's Luca Yorian. Next week, it's all going to be different. But right now, the State of Standard is Luca Yorian. Tell your friends. And you don't have to if they play, because they know.
20% of the meta.
It's 20 freaking, but that's just it. They're going to, yeah, they got it. They're going to nerf that. They're going to nerf it. They're going to nerf it with AOT.
You know what the number two deck is?
Mono red.
Azorius Control.
No shit.
Yep. With Yorian.
Yeah, because of Yorian, because it actually does pretty well against Yorian.
Yep.
All right, so we want to talk next. We posted it up on our Facebook page, but this week, because somebody pretty much was talking about the State of Standard and the fact that Wizards is kind of screwing their own integrity at this point. Was the idea of this... Now, I'm not saying that that's what they're doing. It was the point of this article that we posted. And it really kind of had to do with the banning of a player here. And you, Aramis, you've got it up there, right?
Yeah. So, I apologize if I mispronounce his last name, but his name is Austin Bursevic, or Bursevich. And apparently what happened is the players on the MPL have all signed an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, where they agree not to talk about certain things in exchange for the money that they get from Wizards to, you know, be pros. And apparently one of these players broke their NDA by telling him that they get the information on the formats of upcoming events way before the rest of the general public, like several weeks before. And he basically became a whistleblower and said, hey, Wizards is doing this. This isn't cool. This is an unfair advantage to the pros, and it shouldn't be happening.
Well, so, what it was they were talking about the paper events.
Yeah, they're canceling paper events because of the coronavirus, shifting things over to Arena and Magic Online.
And basically they told the MPL before anyone else.
Yeah, a long time before anybody else.
They were going to have weeks to prep. They would have had a month to prep, and everybody else would have had a few weeks.
Yeah.
And basically what happened was one of the MPL, it's assumed, because they have a Discord, and one of the MPL guys from that Discord sent this information to Austin, who is not bound by the NDL at all, or the NDA at all. He does not have a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
So what happened was is that basically Watsy went in and, you know, basically they got a hold of this Austin guy and said, look, you know, we know you're not bound by the NDA. We can't sue you. There's nothing we can do to you. We just want to know who gave you the info. And apparently, according to this article, Austin wouldn't give up his source. He said, I'm not doing it. And that is when Watsy decided to ban him from everything. Paper Magic, Arena, MTGO, any competitive play, he is now banned.
Middle of his stream, I might add. He was midstream when it happened. He finished a match, and then he got booed. Yeah, he finished a match. Somebody clipped it on Twitch. He finished a match. He had a connection error. He couldn't reconnect, so he closed the game, reopened it, and then he wasn't able to log back in. And so he contacted Wizards, and they said, "Yeah, you've been banned from everything because you wouldn't tell us who talked to you and who told you this," which
that pisses me off.
That's not cool.
No. Well, listen. I mean, my problem is this, okay? If I hadn't gone for where I ended up, okay, if I hadn't gone into IT, I would have loved to have gone to journalism school. I believe in reporting. I believe in the media. Do I believe in the media as it is today? No, of course not. I mean, there's obviously too many problems, but I'm a fan of media. I am a fan of news, and I'm a fan of journalists. And rule number one is you always protect your source. If you are given a scoop and something like that, you protect your source. I mean, you can go to jail. There have been journalists who have gone to jail to protect their source because they've been court ordered to do it. And while a court cannot, what the Supreme Court says is that while a court cannot mandate you give up your source or they put you in jail. What they do is they hold you in contempt of court to compel you to voluntarily give it up. And apparently the Supreme Court thinks this is okay. This is a problem I have with the Supreme Court ruling, by the way. So not to get into the weeds as far as media goes. So this guy had every First Amendment right to basically do that. And for Watsy to come in and basically say, screw you, you can't play it any, we're taking our ball and going home, is remarkably unfair. And it is a bad look for Wizards. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, be that right or wrong, and it's not, obviously. There isn't anybody who's not in the MPL. And it sounds to me like there are some in the MPL even who don't think that this, the way that they're doing it, is fair. And I've seen both sides. I've seen the arguments on Reddit where people are coming in and defending Wizards because they're like, hey, listen, pro leagues, man, they give NFL player rules, you know, before they mount them to the public and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, it's not the same thing. It's not like they're going to the Dallas Cowboys and saying, hey, here's the new rule change we're doing in week 3 of the season. We're going to announce it in week 2, but we're in preseason right now. You can run some plays on it. It's the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and there have been whistleblowers in professional sports,
yeah,
all the way through. I mean, the steroid scandal in baseball.
8 men out.
Yeah.
The cheating scandal. Pete Rose got, somebody blew him in, you know.
The Houston Astros.
Yeah. Listen, I get it, okay? And Watsy's a business, okay? And yes, they want their MPL players to be the top of the heap. Of course you do. I get it. But yeah, it's also a great story if they're not. Like, not consistently, but if there's somebody that comes up through the ranks and takes out an MPL player, basically, your MPL players don't need this handout. And that's really what's pissing off a lot of the MPL people that talk about it. They're like, I don't need the help. I don't need the assist. You can let the world know. I will alter my gameplay in the same amount of time it takes them, and I will still beat them because I'm that good.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that.
Yeah. And there have been some people on Reddit. I'm not totally sure if they're defending Watsy or not, but they're basically using the explanation that Watsy wants their MPL players to be the majority of the top eights most of the time. The underdog story is cute, but it doesn't keep viewers on Twitch. People go on Twitch to watch, you know, Paolo Vito Domodossola. They go onto Twitch to watch Reed Duke. They don't go on to watch, you know, Joe Schmo from, you know, Westchester County, who spiked a pro tour and is in the top eight. That's a great story, but more people are interested in how the pros are doing than how the underdogs are doing. I don't necessarily buy that.
When's the last time Reed Duke won an event?
It doesn't matter how many times he wins, how many times is he top eight.
Okay, but still. I mean,
he's in day two. You know, yeah, the people are watching to see how far he goes. Once he's gone, his fans leave.
Right.
They don't want his fans to go. Now, granted, this doesn't say anything about the times they embed their feed on all the other websites so they get those nice high 150,000 viewer counts, right, which we all know are bogus. But still, it's from that perspective, I can kind of understand it, but I still don't agree with what they're doing. I think it's absolutely beyond the pale.
I think it's bull. I really do. I don't think it's fair. You know, this guy, he didn't ask for this. I mean, all he did was somebody gave him a scoop, and he said, you know what, I'm going to publicize it.
Yeah, they told him something that was going on in the system that was wrong.
Right.
I don't care that these guys are pros. Everybody should have... He leveled the playing field by doing this. He said, listen, right, this is happening.
This is what's happening.
You weren't going to know about this for...
Because the thinking is this. It's not like Modern and Pioneer. It's not like they're doing MTGO. If they were doing MTGO and you could do Modern and Pioneer, hey, no big deal. All right, learning the interface of MTGO, sure, there's some click stuff issue. I get that, okay? But they want to do it in Arena, which means it's automatically Historic and Standard. And that's it. And maybe Draft. So you can't. You know, it changes how these guys prep. It changes, like, how much money they spend and where they spend it. I mean, they were building decks for this event, okay? And now there's this,
Well, plus two, they weren't, with the event coming up that's going to be Standard, the players on that format originally were not going to be receiving stocked accounts.
I remember that.
They were going to have to go on with their own accounts, and if you didn't have the cards, well, hopefully you got some wild cards. So Wizards backtracked on that and is going to give people stocked accounts, because what was going to happen is that, okay, what if this guy has a Mac?
Yeah.
You know, and he qualified when it was a paper event, and now it's on Arena, he can't play, and you can't defer this invite.
Right. So I'm in it. I'm with it. Well, I mean, so in other words, the guy who won the event you and I hosted at Kerwin's.
Yes.
You know, like, he would have been impacted by this.
Yeah, say it was that event. I don't remember if he was even this PT,
I think it was this event
before. It might have been this one. So if that guy didn't have Arena for some reason, or his computer was old, or he had a Mac, or what have you, or he played Arena, but, like, you know, he maybe drafted once or twice, but really wasn't big on it.
Because he's playing Modern and Pioneer, because it's more fun.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a ton of wild cards. He would have been screwed.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't have been able to play, and he wouldn't have been able to defer his invite to the next PT because of the way the system is set up right now.
So I'm glad they did that. You know, and frankly, I don't think Wizards watch this show. I don't think they know we exist. But I'm going to say it anyway. If anybody there is watching this, roll this back. This is not cheating. All right? This guy does not deserve the ban hammer that what the heck was his name there? From Asia there, Watanabe.
Oh, geez.
This isn't a Watanabe situation here. Okay, this guy did not cheat. This guy took information that you made private, okay, you made semi-public, and he publicized it, not having an NDA, and he's looking at this, and he's exercising his First Amendment rights as a journalist. He does write articles. He, you know, and that's just it. Does he count as a journalist? And that's a question for the courts, really. But, I mean, there's no doubt he exercised his First Amendment rights. So exercising those rights means that nothing should happen. You know what? You can sit there and say, you know what? I get a suspension and say, listen, we are going to suspend you for 3 months to compel you to tell us who this was. And if you're not, well, you know, and after that, well, okay, you know, eventually, like with any contempt of court, eventually a judge is going to be like, well, we got to let him out because he's obviously not going to give up his source. That's the way it should work now. Like, I could understand suspending him and saying we're doing this to compel him to give up his source. He can't play any of stuff. I get that. But a lifetime suspension or ban because he's not giving up a source and he's exercising his First Amendment rights is unfair.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's just my thinking on it. So, you know. Yeah,
it's really unfortunate that this, you know, that it ended up working out the way that it did. It really seems just like sour all the way through.
Listen, Watsy's got egg all over their face this week. It's not been a good week for Watsy, and I don't want to run a negative cast. We are not a negative podcast. You want that? Go find the Magic Historian and enjoy yourselves. Not that I mean to call him out, but I mean that cat can't find anything positive to say. Listen, there's a lot of positive to say. I'm loving this BNR idea. I think it's long overdue. I get that you gotta keep your hand on standard now because it's going to be your primary format for competitive Magic. Okay, cool. Whatever you got to do. All right, banning this guy was your mistake. Your double masters. Oh, God. Listen. I am not the professor's mouthpiece by any stretch, but the professor put a video out on Tolarian last week that made every point I would want to make in this. Please go watch him. He is definitely a content creator worth watching. But to TLDR him, the pricing point of these boosters and the box is outrageous.
I was real happy about this set until I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, $16 for a booster pack is insane. I don't care how much extra we get in it. I don't care that there's two rares. You gave us the mystery boosters, which had tons of rares and things in them. So guess what? You broke that seal. All right. You could $16 for a booster, which he's absolutely right. So you're telling me, if I want to go and do a draft at an event, it's going to cost me $50. $50.
$50 if you want no prize support.
Yeah, $50 with no prize support. And that's just insane. Then $299
for $300 a box of 24 packs.
Box of 24, not 36, 24.
24.
Insane. There's absolutely no reason. Please. I've never said this before. I'm going to say this, and this is probably going to make us never be friends with Wizards, and I'm sorry. Guys, if you do not want these products at this price point, this I'm going to say something that the professor couldn't say. Don't effing buy it. Just stay away from it. It'll sell out. It will.
Yeah, well, it's because also, too, it's going to be a limited print run.
Right.
It's a master set, so you know they're only going to print, like, you know, two cases per LGS or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's
it's $299 for a box, not $399, Steven. Did it go
I don't
up?
Get... it might. It probably will. There's no MSRP.
Yeah, of course, because...
There's no MSRP, so this could be... I mean, this is the price that popped up on Amazon, which I guess it's gone now.
The Amazon... But that's the price... Amazon is their official outlet, too. It's what Wizards wanted to charge for.
I don't think it's there anymore. Yeah, I don't think it's there anymore. But...
It's insane.
Like, I could understand, and I would be okay with $10 a pack. Yeah, I would be okay with that. It's a lot. It's a lot. Considering it literally, like the professor had said, it costs basically the same to print this as it does any other set.
And there's not even any work going into it. There's alternative art for the borderless box toppers.
But those are box toppers. Right. Those are box toppers. So since we're talking about this, Mark Rosewater posted on his... Blogatog. Somebody asked him a question. So I'm going to read, it's going to be a little long, but I'm going to read this. So this person asked Mark, said, "Hey Mark, I know that you probably won't answer this, but I really wanted you to pass this along if possible. Double Masters, while being a cool set, I am assuming, is priced out of my range. While you don't control pricing, I just wanted you to know that $300 a box before gouging is going to really spoil a lot of the community's goodwill towards your company. I know that company line is, it's not for everyone, but Mr. Rosewater, it's a bridge too far for this 15-year invested player." Here's Mark's response.
Oh, this is going to be good.
And he's getting ripped apart for this a little bit, and I think for this one I kind of understand it. He says, "I want to have an honest discussion with all of you. While making Magic the best game it can be is important to us, we are also a business."
Oh, dear.
That's totally true.
It's true, but you don't start there. You might sprinkle it. You never start there.
"Part of our job as a business is to recognize all the various audiences and create products to serve them. That's how we make money. Finding players' desires and filling them with products."
Oh, God.
All true. "One of our audiences are invested players with a higher price threshold, a.k.a. whales."
Yes.
"That is, there are players who are willing to spend a lot of money for highly desired cards, be it reprints or alternate versions. It's in our interest to make products for those players, things like Double Masters and Collector Boosters. Note that we take great care to make those products something that group is happy to buy. The issue is, those desirable cards are also desired by players who that product is not aimed for. Desirable cards are desirable cards. So when we make these products, that group gets upset because the prices seem so high. It feels like an insult. We made something they'd like, but we priced them out of being able to purchase it. I get the ill will, but I also feel like not making products for that audience is unfair for both that audience and us. So I'm turning to all of you that feel upset. How can we make these products in a way that allows that audience to get what they want without all of you feeling like we're doing harm to you?" Good question. It shouldn't be $16 a pack.
It's not a good question. It's not a good question. A good question would be, listen, what can we give you? How do we price this for you? I can't answer how I make a whale happy. That's not my job. That's your job. What you've done is you have made the rank and file of your people. Like, you and I will probably buy a pack at Walmart, maybe. Like, you know, and be like, "Eh, we'll roll the lottery. Instead of paying my scratch-offs this week, I'm going to open a pack of Double Masters." Fine. But this is horse crap. All right, 100% horse crap. He has to say that. I understand that because he's also taking a whole lot of egg on the face for the whole companion thing a few weeks ago. Like, somebody
this
needs to take
a good
his and
Wizards.
Donald Trump's phones away. Okay? Like, I'm sorry. Okay, he is literally Wizards as Donald Trump as far as social media goes. Because this, there is absolutely nothing good in that response. Nothing good.
Here's my answer.
Okay.
You make double masters.
Right.
You have the box toppers. You charge $10 a pack. You know, around that range. For the collectors, for the whales, you make a special side set or whatever. Special booster packs, special case that is like alternate art, you know,
you make,
super foil.
You make the box toppers they had with War of the Spark. You make that stuff. The $400, you know, super deluxe editions of things that they created.
Yeah, you do something like that
and
for
that,
the collectors.
And you know what? We griped about it, you and I, but we were both like, well, we're not going to buy it. It's not for us. Okay. Because I could get Teferi out of a pack. Okay, mm-hmm. I could get these things out of packs. There wasn't anything in that set I couldn't get elsewhere for cheaper. No problem. You're doing a master set, which is designed to be a reprint, which is designed
100%
to put
reprints.
Cards back in the second. Really what it is, it's designed to fill the secondary market and keep some of the prices under control because the competitive decks are being priced out of anyone who can't afford a $2,000 deck.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I get it. All right, that's what the master set was supposed to be. It was not supposed to appease the whales. That's what your secret lair with the damn fetch lands was supposed to do. Mm. That's what your...
And they went out of their way. They went out of their way to mention that this set does not have fetch lands.
Oh, yeah, thank God. But, I mean, that's just it. Like, you went out of your way to make those fetch lands completely unbuyable from anyone. Anyone in the regular market. And you know what? Whatever. Fine. They're as attainable as regular fetch lands are to me, which is to say they're not. However, this Masters set could have been a home run.
Mm-hmm.
What you've
it
done
looks like it's going to be.
You've pissed off the base again. And after an Oko mess, where you pissed off everybody into Standard, then you create Pioneer and you banned out every good deck in Pioneer. All right. And then you are consistently starting to piss on your base.
Here's my question.
You needed a win.
here's my question or dilemma. And it's kind of hard to phrase it because it's coming off the top of my head. Expensive cards are okay to exist. Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. Here's the thing. Stop pretending the secondary market doesn't exist either.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it because you have secret layers. You're jumping in the secondary market. Stop being idiots. But go on.
So,
holy cow, this is good.
Continue. These cards, this is, in the end, this is a game. Yes. These cards are meant to be played. Yes. This is all true stuff. I'm assuming this set is meant to be drafted.
Yeah. Masters drafts have always been fun.
The draft environments for Masters have always been pretty crazy.
I mean, that's just it. Even the worst Master set, even 25, even Iconic, had great drafts. I had a blast with them.
I'm assuming that they want this set to be drafted. I don't understand why.
Hold on.
They would want to give you cards that need to be played. These are cards that are seeing play. Blightsteel Colossus, Doubling Season, Mana Crypt. These cards see play.
In every mana. In every modern deck.
Yeah. I mean, Atraxa is going to be in this set. Okay, so if you don't play Commander, whatever. It's not really going to be for you because it doesn't see play anywhere else but Commander. But still, it's the best Commander, basically.
Yeah.
So if you get it, you can.
Yeah,
you don't have to. You don't have to worry about shelling out, you know, however much money it is to get the pre-con.
I've already got one.
Yeah, you've got one.
I got my Atraxa.
So
how good.
This gives me a chance to get an Atraxa. But
I don't want you to get an Atraxa. Don't go behind the set.
But I don't want to. That's the thing is that I don't feel like I should have to pay $16 for cards to play these cards.
And that's a box topper. I don't even know that Atrax is in the set. I think the only way to get it is to open the box top.
Oh, it's in the regular set. Good. So it's just I kind of balked at, you know, Ultimate Masters was expensive at $13 a pack.
Right.
And I was kind of hoping that was as high as they would go. Oof.
Look, and that's just it. If this sells out, and it will, and that's
absolutely
what sucks,
will sell
because
out.
It's going to sell out, and it's going to tell Wizards the wrong message, and they're going to come at us with $20 next, and $400 boxes. It's ridiculous at this point. I don't know what
there's
the answer
in
is.
Here, there's nothing in this set that's so special that we know of that would justify a $16 booster pack.
Fetchlands would not be worth a $16 booster pack, and that is the only thing that universally everyone wants.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm sorry. It's just, that's the case. Fetchlands aren't worth that. So if Fetchlands aren't worth that, nothing is worth that.
And here's the thing, too. You go to open packs of this. You know, you go, hey, I'm gonna buy a booster pack of this. Oh, I got two 50-cent rares. I just spent $16
on two 50-cent rares. Yeah.
Because you know, as good as this master set will be, there's going to be jank.
Yeah. And here's the thing, and that's true. And I mean, and I get what George is saying, too. George is hitting on a point. He's saying Mana Crypt Prince would have been amazing for Commander, but I don't think it'll do anything for prices at this price point. And it won't. And this is
not
almost
this
like Wizards just sitting there going, well, we're protecting. I would have rather Rosewater came out and said, you know what? We admit the secondary market exists and our LGSs have taken it on the chin because of the pandemic. So we're doing this to keep the price point of secondary cards under control.
They can't do that.
I understand that. But if they came at it that way, then I'd at least say, you know what? I can't argue with that because that is the only good thing about this. It is a win for the LGS. This is going to help the LGS. LGSs will sell out of these cards. Here's the thing. Drafts will still fire. You will fire a draft on it because a win-a-box
like
draft
though,
on this? Huh.
Oh, yeah. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
I do feel like, though, I would be like, I'm not okay on this on like an 8 out of 10 level. I would be not okay with this on like a 7 or 6 out of 10 level if it was at least an unlimited print run.
Right.
If you could at least say, okay, well, I'm not going to get a box now, but I can get one in 2 months.
Right. And that's
this
that's
one, it's going to be sold out in like a week and a half, and you're not going to be able to find it unless it's like for $500
on
Amazon.
Player,
yeah, it's going to be crazy.
And that's just it. It's the problem is that I think Wizards needed a win here. And Wizards, to be quite honest, you guys screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
If they lowered the price and doubled the print run or even tripled the print run, would have made a lot more money on it. Yes, you're absolutely. And that is what the professor said. He's like,
yeah,
you know
exactly
what? If they
said.
Doubled the print run and made it $10.
Half the price. Yeah.
They would have made half as much
more.
Profit. You know, say that the print one was 100% at and you're charging $16 at 200 at 10. Now it's.
They're making more.
Yeah.
They're making
you're
more.
Making much more. And you're doing more for your base, which, all right, you're taking paper. Basically, you are taking competitive paper away for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and sets like this are supposed to let people get access to the Eternal formats.
Right.
I can't play Modern. It's too expensive.
Nope, nobody can play Modern. I have one Modern deck. One. My Bogle deck.
I'm scared to get into
not
Pioneer.
Competitive. You know what? But if I want to go to a Modern event and want to hang out and get my butt kicked, yeah, I go and play Bogles. All right, you know, and I have a good time.
And that's one of the arguments that I hate is that, well, you can take a a cheap deck and go in and play. It's like, yeah, but how competitive am I going to be?
Right.
How many of these top tier decks are $100?
It's like playing Steve at Commander
bucks?
When he's rolling out $1,800 cards.
I knew you wanted to work that
one
somewhere.
Yes, and if you don't know what we're talking about, go check out our website and see what you can find out.
It's crazy. I would, if it was, like I said, if it was $10 a pack, I would probably
what
buy
happened?
A box. But at the current price point, I'll be hard pressed. I might buy a couple of booster packs, but I was thinking about buying a box of this. But now,
listen,
no
the
way.
Only thing that I see that makes it that makes Steve he's sorry.
Sorry, not sorry, right,
yeah, right,
Steve?
The only thing that makes it worthwhile is that the one thing I thought I would buy is probably the draft pack. The draft pack looked to be like $35 for three packs. Okay. That
seems
livable.
Low.
No, it was $35 on the website.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was like, why would you not buy the draft packs?
That's 12. That's 12 bucks a pack.
That's not horrible. Like I can.
I mean, it's not. It's not great. But it's not horrible.
So, I definitely would see that. Now we haven't really have combat tonight, and no main too. But you know, we're getting pretty up there here. So, I mean, look. The fact is this. Let's talk about this too. We can go into a small combat real quick. All right, let's talk about this. All right, the combat tonight is there too much product and the price too high in this economy today? Look, they announced another round of Secret Lairs. Not horrible. Some of it I was like, you know what? Like Birds of Paradise.
Five rounds of Secret Lairs.
They were doing what they did the first time. It's like you can buy one super and then five smaller ones if you like. I'm okay with that. Like, I thought about buying the super pack. I'm like, you know what? There's enough in there that I would enjoy it.
Well, they did sweeten the pot with that one because if you buy all five, you do get a random fetch land. But, you know, I was looking through the lists and, like, the Lightning Bolt one seemed interesting. The one with the bird seemed interesting. But I don't know. I mean, it's just, I feel like now's not really the time to be throwing yet more products at us. I mean, how many releases is that this year? 20?
And we haven't had our second Commander set yet, the Commander Ultimate set.
Yeah, Commander Legends is still coming. We still have Zendikar. We still have Core Set. There's going to be Commander products with the Core Set.
Right.
Not the Core Set, but with Zendikar. Right. There's also still Chandra's Spellbook. There's also the Commander Spellbook Green. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's still coming down the pike, and I'm sure there's going to be even more Secret Lairs coming.
Exactly. So
I can't keep up with
nobody
this.
Can, and that's just it. I stopped trying. I mean, how many Secret Lairs have you bought?
Zero.
Now again, I might buy a few on in this one because I like the artifact one. Like I love the fact that they made Walking Ballista a Transformer. I like that card.
Friggin' neck.
You know, and Birds of Paradise. I don't have any of those, so. That's not a bad one to have. But, you know, on the other side of it, yeah. I don't know.
Too much. It's too
much.
Well,
I mean, I want to get another one of the Commander Precons because the Humans one is okay, but it's not great. I think I want to get the Keyword one. And then, yeah, we've got, you know, Core 21 is coming soon.
Previews start next week.
Yeah, previews are going to start next week with a release, what, late June, early July?
Something that I think it's on schedule right now,
and they're not pushing it back. So this is going to be probably the shortest standard season for a new set that we've ever seen. I mean, paper came out a week ago.
Yeah, and within a month there's going to be another set.
Right. I mean, so it's good for us. We'll have content out the butt, but I don't know. For me, I think they're putting just enough product. No, they're putting out too much damn product. I mean,
my day, there were three sets and the core
and
set.
Commander and the Commander, the Ultimate Commanders that are coming out. And here's the thing. There's something they haven't told us about because they came out and said, okay, Fetchlands are not in this new master, but we promised you Fetchlands before the end of 2020 and they're coming.
They're coming.
Which either means we're either getting another master type set or probably a Modern Horizons. I could see it being in a Horizon set, or they're actually going to put it in the freaking last set of the year.
It's not
because Zendikar's last set.
They've already said that it's not going to be in a standard legal set.
So it's going to go in a Modern
I think
Horizons
it's probably
going to
be or Commander Legends.
Could go in Commander Legends.
Because there was another, Rosewater did another post too because he was asking, do you want us to tell you what set they're coming in? Would that make you happy? Which seemed kind of, like, snide to me. I was like, what the hell, dude? We just want to know.
I like him usually, but he's been going... Like I said, somebody's got to take his freaking BlackBerry away. Because that guy... But yeah, so combat, I mean, yeah, I think we're both in agreement. Too much, too fast, too high a price. And you're going to end up killing your base, so...
Pandemic be damned. Even if there wasn't a pandemic going on, this is just too much stuff.
And I kind of can understand that. I can get behind that. You know, at the end of the day, it's tough. So we did have some emails, so let's go back into main, and then we'll do emails and back ourselves out of here because we're coming right up on an hour. So. Main phase. All right, so main phase. Like I said, we're going to push Magic 101 off to next week. What do you think we're doing next week, Aramis? Something. Hey, let us know what you guys think we should cover. How about that? Ha ha, see what we did there. Hey,
give us an idea. Something like if you were a new player, what would you want to learn about? Exactly.
So we did get some emails this week. Josh emailed us yesterday. He said, double masters? Thoughts? Reprint pros and cons? Well, we did that. MTG Mana Strike. It's a nice break from CCG, in my opinion. Have you guys played it? No. Has anybody played it?
Mana Strike?
Yeah, don't even know it.
Oh, I've heard of it. I've seen ads for it, but I haven't played it.
Yeah.
Not really.
And he's talking about he broke into Platinum on Arena last night. It seems to be easier for me than Gold so far. Is this normal? Yeah. Most of Platinum players have gone on to Diamond. I'm in Diamond already. It was weird.
It depends on the format, honestly. Yeah. I've seen some formats where it's like once you get to Platinum, the lower levels of Platinum seem pretty easy. Once you get to Plat 2, it seems to get a little harder.
And I hate Gold that it bounces for some reason. It's always impossible. To Plat 3. Yeah, that's just a pain. But here's something let me ask you this. This was interesting to me. When you went to Diamond, when they pushed you back to Gold, did you get two pips for every win?
You get two pips for every win in best of three, regardless.
No. No, for silver?
Once you hit for silver, yeah, you get four.
For silver? Well, because I played BO1. Gold?
Oh, BO1. Yeah,
for gold, I got BO1. Two pips for every win. All the way through gold.
That sounds about right.
No, it's not. It hasn't usually been that way, because I've been in gold. I finished platinum before and pushed back to silver. This is the first time I went to diamond last month, and it pushed me back to gold, I think gold two. And every time I won, I got two pips. I'm like, well then, thank you very much. I am not going to report this bug.
I don't know. I mean, like, I never played best of one, so I really couldn't tell you.
It'd be interesting to find out, though. So he broke in. Good. Congratulations, Josh. Josh is one of our patrons. Walter did email us. Listen, guys, I don't know where anybody sits. I'm not going to get on a religious soapbox here. But just keep your thoughts with Warren. And Walter and his boy, I'm not going to get into specifics here. He didn't give me the okay. We've all kind of mentioned Walter and his son before. Walter's one of our patrons. He's not just that; he's one of our friends. We've played with him. We've talked to the man. He's a great listener and a great fan of the cast. Walter, our thoughts are with you, man. And your boy's going to be okay. And I hope he gets home soon. So just know we're thinking about you. And I know that this cast brings him a lot of laughs and giggles when he's sitting in the hospital. So, with that, I'm just going to fart out loud. I'm kidding.
I wouldn't put it past you with this.
I was trying, but I still got a little left. So, oh, wow, that's freaky. The green.
Invisible beer, oh, God.
Invisible beer can, no less.
Invisible beer times three.
Oh, that's great. So those are our emails. Guys, if you want to email us, we'll tell you how to do that in just a second. Headstep. So, we're at end step, and as Aramis and I start putting our cards back in the boxes and picking up our playmats and rolling them up and, picking the pizza boxes up, putting them by the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work here. We want to remind you guys that Aramis and I both stream Arena and apparently now Paper. And we prefer playing Paper, actually, on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast on Twitch. You can find us there. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
Yep. And you can follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. Although, honestly, I mean, I've been, when I have streamed, it's been on the Planeswalkers, usually following up with
Ben. No. We can give you a follow. Follow him on RMECWRK.
RMECWRX. Every time I do stream, when I do on my own, it gets also broadcast on the Planeswalkers channel. So go ahead and check that out. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to follow our show that way, you can find us at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WRBenson, but I really use it mainly to follow the comings and goings of the band Hanson. I just have a really great thing for three brothers who sound so good in harmony. So I tend to just follow them on Twitter. I don't really post very often. And, now that they've gotten older, I'm allowed to follow them. So, my wife just put her hand. I got a face palm, ladies and gentlemen. I wish you could see it. you can also follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker, Oh my God, did I slur that? I did. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. We don't put on the less S because we left that off for savings and because some douche took our name. So, Planestalker, tell your friends.
Give it time. We'll get that. Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. Or if you just want to, you know, send us a line to see if you have a suggestion for the show or just want to tell us how
or
we're doing.
Or good beers for me to drink.
Our address is... What's
or
that?
Or good beers for me to drink.
Or good beers for Benson to drink and for have me to just...
Triple IPAs. Apparently, I'm becoming a fan.
podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. That's our email. Send us an email. Send
yes,
help, please.
Send help and smoke signals and... anyway, and don't forget, I do host another podcast. We've got one or two more casts left to go this season. It's on the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. You can find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. We record on Sunday nights usually. And I want to mention, too, just leave us some iTunes reviews, folks. I haven't checked it today, but you know, when you leave us an iTunes review, it really does help. Enhance the show. It helps bring eyes to the show and ears to the show. We are also on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio now. Anywhere you can hear a podcast, you can find us. But if you leave us a review in iTunes, it really does help the show because that's where a lot of people really do go to ingest iTunes or to ingest podcasts and find themselves. So go there, leave us a review. If you don't have an iPhone, you can do it right through your iTunes on your computer or Mac. So, and if you have a Mac, really just go get an iPhone. Really? Why not? But, you know, go there, leave us a review. We do give a giveaway every month, so we're going to do that. But we're going to get on out of here now. So for Aramis Perez, I want to say thank you guys very much for listening tonight. We have had a great time. This has been a very news-heavy episode. We will be back next Monday night at around the 8 o'clock hour to discuss everything going on with the week's happenings. We thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. And we want to remind you to always leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.